glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus, for He's my friend and He's my God. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus. Oh, I found out if I trust Him, He will find. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus, for He's my friend.
Well, we need to pray and we need to take up an offering. And I understand Brother David Angelo passed away this afternoon. Is that right? So you know we need to be praying for the church and Tyler and their family, and lift them up before the Lord and pray that they'll, their strength, of course, they, you know, you're never really ready for those things, but you know they can see it coming. But you still, you need God to help you. I was talking to my sister today, and I, this niece that I went to a funeral back a week ago, and her mom not doing too good. So, you know, when everybody's, you know, supporting you when you got a lot of, Sister Linda knows, get a lot of support, you know, when these things happen, but then everybody leave, you know, and then and that's when you really need prayer. So let's remember them down there in Tyler. And I know we have needs. I heard that Sister Elsie's doing better. That anybody can confirm that? But Smith was a sister. Well, my wife. I think. Then Sister Smith said Sister Elsie was doing better. You not hear that? But anyway, anybody know how she's doing? Anyway. But anyway, let's remember them, pray for her and her family. She's always requesting prayer for her family, so let's pray for her family. And then good to see Brother James here tonight. Mm-hmm. I know Sister Tiffany might have been here this weekend, I don't know, but good to see her tonight. And but anyway, Sister Linda, Sister Donna? Okay. Let's remember that need. Brother Stewart? Okay. Is everybody? I don't know, Brother Stewart. I don't know if you need a. Man, my wife said I can't hear, but after that flight from. I really can't hear. I'm having a problem.
Mother had a stroke. She's doing okay. They call it a mini stroke. But anyway, she's home from the hospital.
Okay.
She needs prayer, though.
So remember that tonight. Pray for her. Let's remember these needs. Sister.
And then people may know, too, Sister Benfield is awake and responsive as of this morning, but she still needs a lot of prayer. So that's an update on those two.
She had some kind of...
She was in the hospital. I forgot now what happened to her. Anyway, she was out of it. But.
So, okay. So I will pray for Brother Foster and Sister Benfield. Now you're talking...
Sister Janie Benfield, Brother Cletus Benfield.
Okay. In Jackson, Tennessee. I remember. Brother James... Aunt. Okay. All right. Okay. Remember Brother James' aunt. All right. Yes, sir.
The lady that was the mother of the triplets that my wife has kept here.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her father yesterday.
Okay. Remember that family? All right. What's her last name?
Shively's your last name.
Ma'am. Shively, okay. She remember that family. All right. Okay, any other requests? Brother Philip. All right, let's pray for Brother Paul Thompson. Sister Ann? Okay, she remember them tonight. What about your son, Sister? Yeah. Okay, remember, so I know she got Kyle and Luke. So, Luke, okay. All right. All right, remember. Oh, any other request? I'm sorry.
I still need prayer for my bites, and I had a procedure done today. Hopefully, it's fine. What's wrong?
Okay. Brother Keith. Pray for
unspoken.
Unspoken.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thank you, brother. Sister Lynn. Elisha? Okay. All right, remember that. Okay. Brother Painter, let's remember that. Oh. All right, let's. I don't know if y'all can hear that. You can hear. Okay. All right. Just remember that, and Brother. Good job. Okay. Remember Brother Curtis's job situation. Serious. Anyway, let's all stand. Take these needs to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God. Pray that you help your people. Pray that you touch each need, each request. Remember the people, and your family, Lord, and your church. Pray that you strengthen them and help them, oh God. Lord, help us that our hearts will reach out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Glory, glory. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Oh, Lord, you know what's going on. Lord, you know what's going on. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh, thank you. Lord, help me. Each one. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. appreciate that, Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis, I know you probably know that Carl and Chase was over there at the Dominican Republic. And Chase got such a blessing one night. I don't know if I don't know if he already had the Holy Ghost or not, but anyway, he really got a great blessing. And looked like he was praying for people. I don't know. There was so many people in that place until he was really caught up in the spirit. I mean, I was next to him close to him one time, and he was taking these pictures, and I was asking him. He said, I'm taking these back for my mom, you know. So anyway, he got in the service. But anyway, I said something about this, the meeting, and, first of all, I'm thankful that I got to go and be there with God's people. And I was thinking all that they said about it is true. So anyway, I was telling them, I didn't get to talk too much except the last. We were in the four services, but the last service, we was at Brother Cyprian's church, and they said, well, you hadn't said anything this whole time. But anyway, it was so full with Brother Green's cousin from Los Angeles, California, was there visiting the island, and he was in the Sunday service, which our first service was in Brother Green's church, which was Thursday night. And then Friday night, we was, Brother Smith called at the Cane Field. We was in Brother Calderon's church. And when we drove from Laura Mata to his church, and we started going through these little village, it was all dirt roads, and I thought, this looked like Haiti. And Brother Smith said, well, that's a lot of Haitian people live here too, you know what I mean? A lot of his people are Haitian people that live there in that little community. Don't ask me to pronounce it. It's Guerrero. But anyway, you have to get your mind together to say that word. But anyway, Guerrero. But anyway, it was a wonderful service, and he got a young man in that church that married a girl out of his church. I guess she's a Haitian girl, but he's a Haitian, and he's the only band director they got over there. But anyway, he directed band that night at Brother Calderon's church. Of course, Brother Green wanted me and Brother Chuck Millsap to help with the band practice on a Saturday. But I've come to find out, which I noticed it when we was in Brother Calderon's church, that they play Brother Blake and Brother Curtis. I mean, not Curtis, but Blake and Spencer knows about it. They play, I guess they call it either concert music or orchestra music. How do y'all say it? Concert? But anyway, their music, you know, they play, every horn play music just for that horn. You know, it's first trumpet, second trumpet, you know, and all. So, you know, here he want us to go in and try to have a band practice. But anyway, it was totally different than what, you know. So anyway, we tried to work with them, and we did. And I appreciated Brother Millsap because he was kind of encouraging them. You know, when you, it's like worship, you know, anything we do for God. You know, he was telling them that when they're playing the horn, you know, we're playing as a group, but we're to play, we are to make one voice, you know. We're to blend so well together until it's just like one voice. And I appreciate him instructing that. You know, playing from your heart. You're worshiping through your horn. But anyway, that was very good. They played Great Is Our Faithfulness. And this is Sunday service. And Brother Millsap and Brother Elias Cyprian's daughter, they sang together. Had a course, like a verse two, and they sang together. And it brought a blessing. And then on the end of that, they played the Majesty. I had already promised Brother Green that I would donate my horn too damn long time ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. But it seemed like we never got over there. But anyway, I carried my horn over there. And I got to play it. So anyway, but I didn't play it as good as I felt like, because it was a totally different world. But anyway, the services were all of them was, the first service started out a little slow, but it didn't end slow. The pace picked up, and every service, you know, was just packed out, high service, high worship, good words. Of course, Brother Smith, you know, he talked the first night, and of course, there was so much worship. He didn't talk that long because it would just fill with worship. And you know how he talked about them praising the Lord at the beginning, just hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, just they kind of work it up a little bit. But anyway, it was just wonderful. And every place, Brother Green's church, we was in his church twice, Brother Calderon and Brother Elias's, and then they had a baptismal services on a Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon, evening, 5 o'clock, I think. But it was, you know, Brother Smith had to cover some things on baptism. He talked a little bit there, and that was good. And I tried to think about, you know, God, His Word, the gospel that we talk about. You know, when it's taken to a place, no matter where it is, there, being on an island, the people that Brother Smith tells us that the gospel was preached on a platform to the Gentiles, and it was a different platform than what was preached, you know, what the Jews had in the early church. You know, more or less, I guess you're going to say heathen people that, you know, didn't know anything about God. And I was thinking, no matter where you take this gospel to, you know, those people have a culture that it's not going to change so much their culture. It's just going to change how they live within that culture. And that's what I was thinking there. You know, it was almost like I felt like Brother Green would want us to make them play like we play over here, and that's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to, I could sense that right off. You know, we're just going to have to work with them. You know, they got their way of worshiping God, and I know and it's somewhat a cultural thing, the way I see it. And you're not changing that so much. You adding God to that culture. And in doing so, I was thinking, yesterday I was thinking, you know, I don't know if anybody taking the body of Christ, this gospel to the Indian reservation, but you go out there, you know, and, you know, you're not going to expect those people to, I was thinking about it in the Dominican Republic, you're not going to try to Americanize Dominican Republic people. You're not going to do that. I mean, it's not going to happen. But I think the gospel can be planted in that land to a degree that these people are going to love God in their way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's where I was seeing it. They you know, being over there, I mean, like, we just about burned up. My wife, she about didn't make it one night, but it was really hot. I mean, it's okay if you're out, you know, lounging around during the day, you know, when you're in the breeze. Like, when we went to Brother Green's, we had dinner at Brother Green's house the first evening, first day, and it was, you know, Brother Smith's room is, he got a window unit in his room where he stayed. But anyway, in the living room, the kitchen, the other area of the house, they just have the doors open. And when, you know, I mean, just, you got a breeze, and it's livable. I mean, it's not bad. But if you get in a building, maybe a fourth the size of this building, and it's packed with people, it's hot. I mean, you wouldn't believe. I fell for Brother Gary Green. You know, I told my wife, I said, I got a bunch of handkerchiefs here at home. I should have brought. She said, well, you should have brought. They had towels, you know, wiping sweat, because it was hot. But, I mean, I don't want to magnify that because, you know, but it was. But, I mean, it was such a outpouring. You know, and what I look at, you know, they say, well, they're used to it. And, you know, we're not. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. You know, this gospel can help any any culture. It can bring you from, they said, from the uttermost to the guttermost to the uttermost. It can bring you out of whatever you're in. You know, I mean, as far as serving God, and yes, they I guess the place like we even where we stay, Sister Lynn know where we're at, that Casa de Campo, it's a very nice place. But there again, they got air conditioning in the bedroom, out bathroom, or you know, so bedroom, you can close the door and go to the bathroom. None of that's air conditioned. And but it's okay, you know, you can open the door from the bedroom, kind of let a little air get in there. But the lobby, the living area, the kitchen, all that, you know. But when, like I said, when they open the doors, open the windows, it's livable. You know, it's tropical. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, that's the way they live. And the only air, like we say, when our bedroom had air, and then when we went to the supermarket, Jumbo's, they had air. But most places we was at didn't have air conditioning. So anyway, that's okay. I mean, you can kind of you adapt to it. And I kind of fell in love with the place because we were traveling from Punta Cana to La Romana, and they had, you know, farmland, the cane fields, they had cattle, Brahma cattle out in the pastures, and it was a farming environment. I told Sister Smith, I said, I bet Sister Crow would like this, you know, because it was farm country. I mean, there were people out working, and I thought, because I had been to Haiti, I was telling them, I said, I followed, you know, they was talking about following the cloud, and I said, I followed Brother Tucker to Haiti, and I followed Brother Leniger to Haiti, and I followed Brother Smith to the Dominican Republic, and I thought, this is totally different. Same island, but it's totally different because they have work. The thing that I saw about it over there was that they just don't get good wages. But they have work. People are working. You know, you go downtown, there's some people that's, you know, asking for money. But most of the people that we were around, they're working people. They're busy on that complex where we were staying, people out working. And the fruit, like Brother Durham had told us, you know, he said, man, when you get to eating the mangoes over there, it won't be nothing like it. And it was very good. And they had a fruit tree in the backyard. First time we got, me and Brother Mike was out there, and we got some mangoes off the tree, and my wife said, you're not supposed to be eating those, you know. But anyway, they didn't mind. We didn't know at the time, but anyway, they didn't mind. It was so sweet. I mean, it was really good. And we had a lot of fruit, mangoes and papaya, and there was another one. I don't remember what it was, but anyway. What was it? But anyway, it was all very good, very good. But anyway, we ate healthy, no fried foods. We did see one fast food place. It wasn't fried food; it was Burger King. But anyway, but they provided our meals for us, and it was just so peaceful. So I love the place or whatever. But anyway, it's another culture, and I just feel like with God in it, you know, and those people are just, I was telling Brother McGowan, they have swallowed this message, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, they're thrilled about this. I mean, they love it, and you can sense that, you can feel it, you feel the people hunger and attentiveness. I mean, they was there. I don't know. Some of them traveled. There was one lady. Of course, my wife thought she was older than what she was. But anyway, she's an older lady, and they brought her there on a motorcycle. And I don't know if they all motorcycle, but some of them are just small, like mopeds almost. But anyway, she put up forth an effort to be in church, and that's what they do. I mean, it just. Your heart, you know, goes out to them because you know, they have some hardships and you know, things are not just so easy for them. But they want to, they love God and they are serving God. And I just, you know, I just feel like if you can serve God no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are. That's what I'm getting out of this. And you know, if we ain't careful. You know, if in our situation, I'll tell my wife, if they took all our air conditioning away from us, you know, we may be in trouble. But I think I feel like you can serve God, and no matter what your circumstances are, if you really have a heart to serve God, if you really begin to love God, and that's what I want to continue to incorporate in my life, is have a love for God and His work and His Word and the things, the ways that God wants us to work and live righteously. You know, I mean, not want to have love. But Smith was talking last weekend, I think, about, you know, how much about, you know, Sister Lynette asked a question about love, charity, talking about charity and love. And he was saying that when you really, how do you know if you really love God? He said, you know when you can lay your life down for you, not just for your friend, but for your enemies. You know, I mean, and that's what we're working toward. I mean, it's not like that's something that's absurd that we can't do, but that's what we're working on, is to eventually have that agape love in our life to where we love God and His righteousness. And the longer I live, I realize that there are not a lot of things in this world worth living for if you're not serving God. I wouldn't want to live in this world if I didn't serve God. Y'all hold me to that. I don't want to live in this world. I want to serve God. His ways are better. The things that I've gained from serving God, I couldn't have gotten them any other way. And I wouldn't want to live any other way. No matter if I'm on an island or wherever I'm at, I want to serve God. I want to have God's laws in my heart. I want those laws written in my heart. And that's what God wants us to do. We want His laws written on the tables, fleshly tables of our heart, to where we, no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, then we can always, you know, lean on the things that we have gained from the Lord and what He's given us, what He's deposited in our lives. We can keep that. We can carry that with us. You know, that's what we want to be. That's how we want to be. Brother Mike Crafton is still over there, by the way, and I think he's going to be over there 13 days. pray for him. Brother Mike, kind of adventurous, you know. But anyway, we saw Brother Smith talk to him, and but anyway, he's going to be over there a few more days, and anyway, it's pray for him. Sister Lacey is where? New Jersey? She's on her way home, but it's going to take her a while to get home. But pray for her. And they really enjoyed it. I can't speak for everybody, but I loved it. Still think about the people in Haiti. You know, I can't change the situations over there, but I can pray for them. They love God, too. And they are God's people. I was talking to Brother Elias, and I think he was telling me that he went to Brother Lionel Joseph's funeral, and I was asking him about the people over there. But they are, I think, from where they are, I think it's like 8 hours drive or so across over there. But anyway, they're not forgotten. I don't feel like they are. Just that, you know, we're limited on what we can do, and I know it's going to take God. Sometimes I you know, beat myself up about things, but it's going to take God, and that's what, you know, we're serving Him. We're serving God, the one that can help situations. And some things, Bill Smith was telling us, you know, about the gospel going to that island. You know, he went to, you know, he was telling us a little about the history of it. Anyway, about the kind of civil war thing they had going between the Dominican and the Haitians, and Haiti was controlled the whole thing for like 24 years, I believe what he said. And Dominican fought back and got their independence. But anyway, there's, you know, some strife going on there. But he was just saying that probably had not the Haitians got this message before the Dominicans, then they might have dominated to a point that they might not have ever got it. But they got the message in Haiti. They have this message. They made their living condition may differ some, but they have this message. And that's the good part. And now the Dominicans have this message. So I just, you know, he said, well, he can see God in that. And I think that's wonderful to be able to see God. See, that's the thing. See, God knows what's best for us. God knows how to work things out. And it made to my eyes, it may seem, God, how are you? Well, you know, why is it this way? But God, you know, we know that. We pray that way. I know we all pray that. You know, God knows what's best, and he really does. And it may not always look to us like that was the best thing that happened, but we know we're praying. I look now on my consolation on praying that God knows what's best. When I remember how Abraham, and when God, the angels talked to Abraham about the, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know, he tried to make a bargain with him about the people, how many, you know, and got down to 10. And if you could find 10, they could save it. And I look at that, and somebody can help me with this, but I can't see, as much as, you know, Abraham was, you know, was concerned about Lot and his family and everything, I can't see where Abraham ever had any knowledge about whether Lot got out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway, he trusted God. God told him, you know, if he could find 10, he'd save it, save the city. But anybody know whether Abraham found any way? I can't see anywhere in the Bible where Abraham was, you know, you might look back and say, well, he found out that Lot was, he survived it. But I believe Abraham trusted God to the point that God would save him, you know, regardless. And we can see, we can read about it. We know he did. But I don't know if Abraham ever knew that. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know even if I don't know whatever happened to a person. But if I believe, if I pray sufficient enough for somebody and be sincere with God about it, then I believe I'm going to put it in God's. You know, we say that about our children and everything. Put it in God's hand. Put them in God's hand. And just begin to trust God with it. And I believe, and that's the only consolation I can get from it, because you don't always know. We don't always know how situation's going to turn out. But I want to be able to have that confidence and trust in God to know that you prayed to God about it, you trusted God for it, then it's going to be all right. You know, even if somebody suffered something that you think was bad, and that suffering may even, in the end, may do them good. I'll tell you, that's hard to see that. But anyway, that's what I want to be able to see what God is doing and trust it. You know, have that kind of trust in God. That whatever happened, God, you know that was best. You know that was best, and believe that in my heart. So I'm just thankful tonight that we're here and in God's house, and we can lift him up. You know, we can praise him, worship. You know, I enjoyed the uplift and worship there. But we all love God, and I believe if we love God, we'll just begin to get our lives in His hand. Just begin to turn ourselves, you know, surrender to the Lord and let Him do what He will. You know, surrender our lives to Him, let Him do what He would do. I wish we was worshiping more, you know. Like I say, you know, and Brother Smith, he explained a lot of that. He, you know, he know that this gospel is new to the people over there, and they just on cloud nine right now, and that's wonderful, and I'm glad for him. You know, I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad that I got to even witness some of the things that is going on there. And but anyway, we have this gospel too. You know, we have it, and I don't want to let it get old. I don't want to get complacent with the things of God. It's good at any age, at any time frame we're living in. It's still good. And we begin to I think about this sometimes. It was a King Ahab. You know, he was one of the wicked kings, and I can't remember exactly what was going on at the time, but But anyway, I think it was a war situation. And he began to, he humbled. God said that Ahab, I can't remember the war situation of some kind, but anyway, God said that Ahab humbled himself. God recognized that. He did. He began to pray to God, and although he was a wicked king, but God honored that he humbled himself. And he said that since he humbled himself, this is not going to happen in his day. You know, the wrath of God was going to happen to that country, but it was not going to happen in Ahab's day. You know, it was going to be his family, his kids. But you know what? That's what we're to do. We're to put our trust in God to the point that it's in your hands, God. You know, it's in His hands, and begin to believe that with our hearts. Believe God no matter what. So I'm thankful that we have such an opportunity. Thankful to be in church tonight, worshiping God. It's good to be here.
How's everybody doing tonight? I'm going to give you guys a little background. Something happened last week that only God can do. I want to share this with you. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago on how I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, changed my whole life, December 1st, 2010. I had unbelievable peace for 2 weeks, but what happened was I was ignorant of what the Bible said. Never read the Bible, but I had the hunger then to read the Bible. But I went back with my girlfriend at that time, and when I went back, we got together. We was together for some months, probably maybe 8 months. But the whole time I was there, the Holy Ghost was convicting me and was telling me that I was enabling her with her relationship with her Father in heaven. And it was a long time of battling because obedience is better than sacrifice. So it was hard for me at that time to be obedient. I had no idea, you know, I started reading the word, and then it starts going into your heart, and then you start to realize what's really important. It's God's word. So what I'm telling you this for is that I got up and I left. I never called her. I never talked to her again. And when I left in the beginning, I cried. I got my own place. I was crying at night, but I knew this was the will of our Father. This is what He wanted. And why I'm telling you this because I ended up leaving, going to my brother's in Texas months later. I spent time with my brother for 3 months. In San Antonio. I talked to him about Jesus. Talked to him, his wife, his kids about Jesus Christ. I couldn't get a job there. I ended up leaving. I came over here. Now my brother, he's moving to the Philippines. Me and my mom, we all made plans last week to go to San Antonio to see him before he goes. What happened was I took some days off and we're going to go. And my mom changed her mind, so she wasn't going to go. My dad didn't want to go, and I've already took the days off. And we were supposed to leave on Sunday morning. But let me tell you what happened on Saturday that night. This is what changes everything. Because nothing can stop the will of God. Nothing can. I don't get on Facebook, but for some reason that night, I was just feeling like, I don't even have an account. Something told me to get on Facebook, open an account. So I did that. And I've always wanted to check on her, see how she was doing. Because I've always had that thing. I'm always still want to see how she's doing. I got on Facebook. I got on her page. Didn't really see anything. I sent her a friend invite. And I looked down and I see her brother's page. It got her face on it. I clicked down on her brother's page. She passed away. She's gone with the Lord. That hit me like a big stone. Hit me hard. It hit me real hard. I was crying. It hit me bad. But you want to know something? This is everything works together for the good of those that love the Lord. I want to tell you something about her. I talked to her sister 2 days later. Her sister told me, she said, I thought the worst thing in her life was you guys splitting up. But she says, after you left, she was on fire for God like she has never seen her. She walked in forgiveness like she never did before. That was one thing we had a problem with. She couldn't forgive. And I'll tell you right now, forgiveness is essential in your lives. Don't bear that burden, any burden. We must forgive to be forgiven. But I'm not done yet. I called my mom the next day, Sunday. I said, told her about what happened. So she passed away. She passed away June 6th, 2013. She just passed away. And something told me to get on Facebook because she knows that's how the Lord works in mysterious ways. I told my mom about it. We changed the plans. We went down to Texas. We went to go see my brother and his family before they left. But I'm going to let you know that our Father's will was done in their lives. Because a month before that, my brother called me on the phone. He says, I don't know what's going on, but I can't put the Bible down. See, I was there 3 months telling him about Jesus Christ. I was sowing seeds. And God does the rest. God's going to take care of that. It's like our brother said, give it to God, and he's going to take care of the rest. So we went down there, and our Father's will was done. My brother, his wife, his 2 kids got baptized. Mark 16:16 says, be baptized and believe, and ye shall be saved. So I praise the Lord. He gave me peace when I talked to her. I felt so bad for 2 days. I was feeling like, because I didn't know, and the Lord knows I needed that, talking to her sister and knowing, just knowing that she was on fire for God like she had never seen anyone before. But that's how I am. I'm on fire for Jesus Christ like crazy. And I ain't going to go back to the way I was. Never. But I wanted to share that with you guys tonight. That's a testimony. And that was years of giving it to God and letting his will be done in their lives. So if I would have stayed with her, I would have enabled her from getting closer to our Father. I would have never went to my brother's house in Texas. I would have never told them about Jesus. And they would have never got baptized. So I just want you guys in your lives, don't look at now. Look at the big picture. The big picture is our Father's will. Tonight is our Father's will. Amen. I love y'all. Jesus Christ loves you. I just wanted to share that.
Service and appreciate the Lord, of course, and what was said, these Brother James' testimony. God moves in mysterious ways, don't he? Sure does. And what Brother Talley was talking about was, you know, when man takes over a region, he takes over the whole aspect of it. He wants to take over the whole culture of it, convert it into what he wants it to do or be or however. It's just man's way. You can track that through history, whichever way you want to go with that. It's always the aggressor's part, the conqueror's part, to try to, once they overthrow, is to change them. But God has a different way of doing things, and that's what Brother Talley was hitting on, was the cultural difference of Dominican Republic and Haiti versus us here in America, here in our great state and our great country. This church is very culturally diverse, and we're all striving for the same goal. Nobody's trying to make anybody fit any kind of format, except trying to find more of God. That's what we should be seeking for. What else is there to go to church for than to come and seek the Lord, try to find His will, try to find His way for our life, what He would want instead of what I would want, and how He would do something instead of how I would do something. There's lots goes into church service, and there's lots of different aspects of it, of course, from the music and different things, but I was thinking that, and we've been taught this all throughout our time in the body of Christ, is that there is a channel here. Recently I bought a boat. I decided we'd put our boat in the river. I've been in the river with my brother, and he's a little bit better boatman than I am. And Justice was like, "Dad, I ain't really comfortable with that river." And I said, "It's okay. We can outrun that water. We ain't worried about that." So we put in over here, and I don't know the name of it. Over here on 430, they got that lighted bridge. You know what I'm talking about? That walking, what's it called? Two Rivers. I put in right there. And I noticed that whenever Justice backed me off into the water and I fired up that engine, and it's got a lot of power. It's a 150 Black Max, and it'll throw about a 20-foot rooster tail, run about 60. And I noticed that everybody's looking at me kind of funny. This didn't really click. Oh, matter of fact, it just kind of made me feel good. I looked over here and I seen this houseboat right out in the middle of that, and it's all been rolled over and it's all rotted, nothing left but just the metal framework of it and pieces of it, and the pontoon pieces stuck down in the sand. And Justice parked the truck and come and jumped in the boat, and I eased that boat around, revved it up, got it warmed up, and off we went. And I'm blasting across this. I'm thinking I'm in the river. I wasn't in the river. No, I found this out. Yeah. So I'm sickling across this river, and I can't get it trimmed right. I'm having trouble getting my boat trimmed where I wanted it to be trimmed at. And I look over here, and there's like this little island thing. People over there, and a couple people doing this and waving at me. And I tip my hat at them, spinning around backwards. I got my shades on, and I'm cool. And man, we are moving. Justice, his face is all pinned back. He's just the first time he's been in a boat like that, and been a long time since I've been in a boat like that. And then it happened. I hit that thing. I felt something hit just about where I was sitting. My mind thought about a log until I hit it again. And I realized, I think I'm sitting in the dirt. I turn around and look, and I'm just blowing sand, just 20-foot rooster tail of nothing but just sand. So we get this boat turned back around, and it dawned on me why that houseboat's in the shape it's in. He couldn't get in the channel, could he? He put in too shallow water and got himself barred, but that was his houseboat. You don't just move your houseboat. Imagine if he'd had the money, he'd had them going down there about a mile, or however far that lock is, and had them just shut that river down, get that water level up so we can float off of this thing. You ever have that happen? You ever have that happen in church service? You ever seen a church service get barred up in the sand? How about this? You ever barred up in the sand? So I told Justin, I said, "Don't worry, buddy. Been here, done that. We'll get off this thing." 30 minutes later, we're off of it. And I said, "I think we'll go around the other way. Surely we can get out that way." This time I was a lot smarter. I was just easing down through there and had it all trimmed up. Wasn't getting enough water to it, and got it hot and flooded it out. And Finally got it started back up. Afraid to put it down in the water. Got it moving. We was clipping along 20 miles an hour or so, and it happened again. Boom. Stopped it good. Dead in its tracks this time. Dead motor. Nothing but my trolling motor to get me off this thing. You say, my Lord, what's this got to do with church service? It's got everything to do with church service. Don't think it don't. It's got everything to do with life, too. Because you can get your, you can have your little house just so sandbarred in your own little world. What you wanted. Everybody looking at you and you're feeling so proud of yourself. I was really feeling good. I can still feel that. I felt like an idiot. 10 seconds later, I felt like a moron. And I was a moron. I should learn to read that when that says 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, and we're about 20 foot below that 10 mark, that means I ain't got no water. But I've never been on the river. That was my excuse. I've never been on the river like this. My brother does all that. I need Brother Oates. He was a captain of some kind of boat on the river. He tells me about it all the time. He's probably like me. He's probably just a guy who runs up there and ties the rope on, but it's all okay. It was fun anyway, wasn't it? Well, that's the way life can be. We can get your, you can get your life on a sandbar. I don't think you can. You can feel like everybody's looking at you and everybody just trying to warn you. Slow down, feller. There's something up there you ain't fixing to be happy with. Well, so anyway, like I said, we turned around and went the other way, and then we got stuck again. We just got it freed. It'd taken about an hour and a half, maybe a little longer. Now, I've been in this thing for 2.5-3 hours, and we haven't moved a quarter mile, if we're lucky. And it's hot, extremely hot. My bag of ice had already melted. My water was getting hot. The water was too nasty to jump in. And we just got free of this sandbar, and we told Justin, we get this thing free, we're taking it to that dock, period. I could see the river, barge going down. I think, man, how are they doing that? I just wasn't in the channel. I just could not get there. I wanted to be there. I just couldn't make it happen. Me and my boat just couldn't float. And so we just got free of this, and I'm trolling along. I haven't used the trolling motor in years. I'm having to work this trolling motor with both feet. We're just going circles and moving. We're heading in the general direction where we want to go. At least we're floating again. That's a big thing. And I hear this music playing really loud, and I hear this high-powered boat. Big old boat. Looks like it sleeps about 4 down in the front end of it, down in the bow. And got these 3 girls and these 3 guys. They're all just hooping, hollering, a bunch of teenagers, ain't got a clue. I threw my arm up like that, kind of like what they had told me. They waved back. I just said, go for it. Told Justice, I said, you got to watch this. This fixing to be funny. Here they come, and right over here, they just throttle that thing on in. Whoa! Boy, here, I mean, this thing's a, it's got some juice to it now. Here they come around me playing... whatever that group was that played 8675309, whatever the song, I can't think. Is that Jesse's girl? Who is it? Tommy Two Tones. Boy, I mean, their music blaring, hats on backers, and they're just having a time of their life. We're just sitting here just fixing to watch the biggest wreck we've seen in a long time, besides the one we just had. They come flying around me. I'm still kind of got my hand like that. I'm really doing them a stop here, but they think I'm waving. And then it happens to them. And that thing like to stood on his nose. Like to throw a couple of them girls out of it. Everybody's all crammed up on the dashboard of that thing and up in the canopies. There's people hanging everywhere. Prop and everything. Whole back of the boat come plumb out of the water. Boom! Splash back down and sand. That guy, he just kept hammering on that boat. When we loaded up the boat in our trailer, he was still just barely. He'd almost made it to the river. But I told Jess, I said, I don't know how he's gonna get back. Well, sometimes you get something sandbarred. Some sometimes it's back to it's best just to recount your tracks and get that thing back on a position that you can move it, get it moved, let the Lord move it. Sometimes the Lord just lets us get up on them sandbars to see what we're going to do with it. Things like that have always intrigued me, how God shows us many different things about ourselves and our characteristics and our life and how we do things by the very actions that we do. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how God does things. He shows me a flaw in myself by allowing me to have fun and put myself in a position, and right out in the middle of it, all I can hear God dealing in my heart just saying, "How's your sandbar? Got any sandbar? Got sand in your shoes?" He said, "Man." See, I think that to a degree, Peter hit a sandbar whenever that cock crowed three times. If you let me use it like that, I'd be a little elementary, but still a thought. I'll give you another thought in a minute. You can ask Brother Smith this on Sunday. Another thing is on learning how to operate things. It's not easy learning how to operate things. First tractor I ever drove was called a David Brown. Had a foot throttle and it's really a nice tractor. Had a PTO, that's what you use to brush hog with. You could flip a switch and that thing would engage a lever and it'd engage it. So you could brush hog. My dad ended up getting a tractor. It was a Ford Jubilee. I don't even know why they named them Jubilee. There's the worst thing to ever ride on. That's the truth. But they're good tractors, but they was horrible on your body. And they had what was called the live PTO. In other words, when the motor's running, the PTO's spinning. I found that out. Killed my dog in the process. I found out that when you crawl off the tractor and you can't disengage that. Sometimes people are operating. They don't realize that there's no such thing as just getting off and abandoning your equipment. Because it's live. This is a live deal. Don't abandon your post, folks. I was talking to a man today and realizing how that the way we view things sometimes can be skewed by the conditions that we've suffered in life. We all have that. It's what's called our filter. It's how we filter things. Whatever you've come up through in life teaches you. It's how you discern what's good for you and what's bad for you. And we first do it with words. Well, that's a bad word. That's a good word. And then we develop into characteristics. Well, that's a bad characteristic. That's a good characteristic. And then as we get older, we get to where we can go and come and do as we choose, and we start to develop. And then we listen to how people explain things, and we filter that through our life experiences to determine whether or not we can accept it. And we're all that way. And to some degree, cultures cause that. Different cultures do things in very different ways. I'm actually a Native American. For what it's worth, I'm an American. we got conquered. My people got conquered. It's probably a good thing they did. I still feel that old war drum in me every once in a while. I told Jody, I said, sometimes I think that bear's waking up. He's coming out of hibernation. I think people in the Bible are people just like you and I. They may not have had a Ford Jubilee. They had the year of Jubilee. A lot better deal. They may not have had a boat with a fossil fuel burning engine on it, but they still managed to get it in shipwreck, didn't they? Matter of fact, they got it so broken up, God allowed that to happen. Got that boat so broken up that they floated in on pieces of it. Not one of them died. They were just glad to get to shore. Brother learned a valuable lesson about being a captain of a boat. In his boat one time, whenever he swamped his boat and sunk it right out in the middle of a lake, 6-7 foot swells, just bobbing out there in the water swimming, no life jacket or nothing, for about an hour and a half in the most horrible storm that ever hit that town in years. Happened to be the day he decided to go fishing. To show you that things run in families, the very same day, the very same day that my brother wrecked his boat, almost lost his life, the guy that found him was actually out looking for his fishing jugs and found my brother floating. He was running his trot lines and seen this thing bobbing. He thought it was a jug. My brother always told me, yeah, it was a jug head. I had no business out there that day. To show you that a family can develop certain characteristics, traits, the very same day. I'm in my Jeep with my beautiful wife. This one right over here. The blue and the green with the gray hair-ish. And she'd never been out with anything like me. We've been married for about 5, 6, 7, 10 years. Something like that. We've been married a while. I decided I was going to go hang out with the people that I normally hung out with when we was jeeping. Had no idea what was fixing to go down in my life. As my brother is out there fighting for his life, I ended up in the mountains in an area I didn't even know where I was at. I was born and raised right there in that area. Well, not born there, but I was raised right there. Spent 20-some-odd years of my life there. Been all over the mountains, but that day, had no clue where I was at. The same thing that was propelling my brother to do something was in my spirit and propelled me to do the same thing. Let me add, he had a friend with him, too. A guy that worked for him, went fishing with him. That guy almost lost his life. I mean, sure enough, like to have lost his life. He panicked. And they didn't know how to get out of the situation. So we find ourselves, whenever we start to get into an area where trouble, the Bible says that in the day of adversity, consider. I believe that when things start buffeting in our lives, we need to consider what's going on. We need to look around. And anytime something buffets my life, something comes against me in a manner that caused me to stop and look into the perfect law of liberty and consider what's going on for this given day, I automatically look back at my mom and my dad and my brother and see, is there anything in all this? Or is this just me? Is this a family trait? Because families have traits. The Bible family has traits. We're supposed to, yes, thank you, brother, sister Claire Painter. She's getting good at that, ain't she? I appreciate that, too. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. And so, whenever we do these things, we find this constant buffing in our life, and we start to look and see what God's wanting to do with us. I believe God knows how to move things. I believe He knows how to move people. Man don't always know that. We deal with situations in our life where God starts moving a family member into our care or our ability to help. Sometimes we don't know to what extent God's really going to do this, how He's going to perform this. Is it something that He's going to really be able to do, or is it something that He's going to just do for me? Is God dealing with me, and is it going to be mutually beneficial for all parties involved? And God knows those things. Man don't know that. Any time that a man can take counsel or give counsel, a lot of times it's a coin toss. We can only pray after God. And that's why prayer is such an important thing of our life. It's just like knowing how to get into that channel. I've been driving over that, me and Brother Oates work together, and we go to Truck Pro a lot of times, and we drive over that river. You know, I've always heard about these things, and for some reason I never noticed them till after that day. But there's these things out in the river. You know, them barges, they keep them in between those things. They want to keep floating. I got my boat at a boat shop at the moment, having some work done to it because of other things that happened on our second fishing trip. It's been quite an occasion. The guy told me, he said, you can put that boat in the river and check this new lower unit and prop. I said, I don't know if I want to put it in the river. Where's a good place? You want to go with me? Why don't you go with me? Take me and show me something. You know, there's no shame in that. I'm a 43-year-old man. I could Google how to get down a river. But there's no shame in asking somebody for help. There's no shame in asking for somebody who's got some experience to help me in my life. What's wrong with that? We live in an age almost where everybody's afraid to ask anybody for any kind of help. And then we get so involved in our own things and how to benefit ourselves. I'll show you another example of self-benefiting. Just this happened to me today. My motor went out of my van. Completely went out. It's done. Trust me, it's cooked. That thing ain't going to run again without some major work and money. I'd just be better off to buy another one. It was a $300 van to begin with. The Lord blessed me, and he let me put several thousands of miles on it, so I can't complain. But the motor's gone out of it. So I come to church. I'm telling everybody about my motor, talking. I'm getting to a scripture here in a minute. I'll get there very quickly because we're running out of time. I'm just trying to back us up just a touch. And Brother Brett says, you know what you could do? I said, what could I do? Put a new motor in it? Well, first he said, you know what you could do? And I said, no, what could I do? He said, you could donate that to the blind. I said, what are they going to do, put a motor in it? Because I was just thinking about, I guess they could use it to transport people to hospitals and stuff. I don't know. Then at Donham, I've heard that thing on TV. But to show that to have a care, because I could sell it and redeem my money. It's not that much money anyway, but I could redeem what I got in it and be okay. I'm still going to get a tax break if I just give it to them. It's still beneficial to me, but it's beneficial to somebody else all of a sudden then, isn't it? You catch that? See, one way it's just beneficial to me. The other way it's beneficial to me and to another party. Everything Jesus done was not just self-sufficient and self, what's the word, honey? Self-centered. Somebody keeps saying centered. Somebody saying, what's the word, serving, self-serving, self-centered, self-indulgent. But it was in order to give it to something else, to somebody else, to allow them. He could have came and kept the gospel, and he could have ruled the world. He'd still be alive to this day. He was the Son of God. It's amazing that he sat there and looked in the face of the judge and said, you can't take my life. My life ain't yours to take. Unless my Father puts it in your hand. Now, there ain't a person in this room got that ability to say that. No, none of us. They can't take our soul. It's safe in God. But I assure you, they can take the breath out of your lung. And so he told them that. Everything he done was to propel and to place the emphasis on somebody else. In my opinion, the only time that he actually dealt for himself was in Matthew, the 4th chapter, when he was tempted of the devil and went to the wilderness, was put into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then he stabilized himself, he got himself placed. And from that moment on, everything he done was to set in order that church, to educate his disciples to be disciples. And so with our band song and Sister Bryant's first song, let me see what time it is. I just want to give you just a quick thought. If you give me 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Is this right here? I heard Brother Ralph Angelo Sr. preach a message one time that if the word love of God or the word of God comes into our life, that we should no longer sin. Says that, what shall we continue in sin? Romans 6, is that it? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Then why do I keep sinning? Why do I have these things that keep buffeting my life all the time? And then it says this. It says that the love of God may be shown, shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Ghost. You know what, I think, I'm sorry, 5th chapter. That was actually the conclusion of the 5th chapter. That was the beginning of the 6th, and in my opinion, just a continuation of the 5th. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. This is 5:1, Romans. With God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Aren't you glad for that, Brother James? That's what he was saying. He was glad for that. We're all glad for that. That's why we're sitting here. That's why we come to serve God and hear something from Him. That's why we're trying and striving and endeavoring to reach and to maintain and hold on to that hope. Hope is something that really cannot be taken away by somebody else. You know that? But you allow yourself to lose hope. Because when that what you're hoping for doesn't reveal itself or isn't conceived or isn't materialized in the time that you place, whether consciously or subconsciously, we all place time limits on what we want. And if we do not achieve that and it isn't made manifest to us, then our hope starts to wane. It's just the way, it just seems natural. Because I wanted something. I hoped I was going to get that job promotion. I hoped I was going to get that loan for that house. I hoped I was going to get that new car. I wasn't hoping to get a new van, but it looks like I'm going to get the hope to get one. That's cool. I'll take it. It won't be new, though. It'd be new to me, but I promise it won't be new. My banker over here don't let me spend money like that. I'm remodeling a house, and I got kids to send to college and many other things. But whenever that isn't revealed in the manner we want it to and in the time we want it to, then we start to lose hope. And as Christians age, it's easy to start letting that hope. I asked a question one time in a Bible study. I said, what is the strength, the greatest faith? Is it the faith of a child or is it the faith of a seasoned saint? Which is greater? Jesus said, have the faith of a child. But yet we find that children give up very easily. But yet, boy, they believe so fervently, don't they? When they're believing. But then whenever you're tried and you're tested, that heat comes up in your life and things in your life start to boil over. And that dross of your life, that thing that isn't good, that thing that really is a chain that's kept us bound in our life, has kept us bound in our spirit, has kept us bound to just this world and carnality, has kept us bound to where we really can't just fly with the eagles any longer. We just got to roost with the buzzards. And it keeps us in this position to where we're shackled. Then our hope is really just, it's waned off. But when all that happens, God takes the harshness, of life. Just living. And it's a harsh life. I got several things in my mind. It's a harsh life for a lot of people. I'm a mechanic. Trust me, I was laying at 6 o'clock in the morning this morning. Somebody decided to wash their windows off in the truck in the bay next to, at AAA, next to the truck I was working on. I had to lay down in this water. Well, it felt good, but it's still water. And I got grease all over me. I'm trying to get this starter off, and I'm about to throw a fit because it's the hardest starter I've ever done in my life. Well, that sounds harsh, don't it? There's millions of people that would swap me places. Millions of them, because they want a paycheck. They'd be glad to have a job. Sometimes when my job gets 122 in that building and I'm dying and I'm thinking, my Lord, they could at least put a water fountain out of here. There's many, many people that would just be glad to take that. So I appreciate what I do got. Appreciate what I do get. I appreciate that even as he feeds the sparrows, he does feed me. But as that dross starts to go off my life and that pure gold starts to come up to the surface, then my hope starts to become renewed. It's amazing how that I can wake up in the morning and feel good. I can get a phone call by noon and feel bad. I can get my paycheck at 3:30 and be happy again. I can be broke by 6 because I took my wife out to Olive Garden and we went to Walmart and be sad again. It's crazy. I can go to sleep upset, distraught, worried, scared. Wake up happy. Wake up crying. Wake up worried, chewing my nails off. My job don't pay me like a regular job. It pays me, it just kind of pays me when they decide they want to cut me a check. Just basically is what it feels like, because it's been since the middle of May since I got a check. But today they cut me a check. I was so happy. But my wife was really worried. A couple of days ago, I said, hey, they going to pay us. Don't worry. And then whenever I'm the other way, oh, my Lord, I got to sell my truck. I want to get rid of my motorcycle. We're going to lose the house. We're going to do all this stuff. They don't want your house. They don't want your truck. They don't want your wore-out bike. They don't want nothing. They just want their money. Plain and simple. Ain't nobody gonna come after you. But we build these demons we build these things up in our mind, and it just becomes a vain imagination that just hovers over us. Maybe it just hovers over me. Let me move on here. And it says, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. So when you go through those situations and your hope is waning, don't you know there's been many Christians before you just hoping that they could live to see Jesus? He's coming back. He said he would. They sang those songs we sing. He's coming back. He said he would. He's coming back again. I hope it's this weekend. I'm ready to get out of here. Let's check this thing out. Let's go. Not so. They pass away. We come on the scene. We're like, all right, he's coming. I'll be 25 when he comes. I'm out of here, man. 25 hits. Uh-oh. Well, he ain't coming. Let's have a child. 28 comes. He didn't show up there either. We had another one. 43 now. Okay. Where yet? And every day, he's still just working. Every day, he's allowing people to go through tribulation to a measure of extent in their own personal lives. God will renew your hope if you'll let him renew it. Or we can just keep it all mushed down to ourselves. All right, now verse 5 said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, and this is a verse that I had in my mind today. I think Sister Bryant's first song fit with this, at least in my way of thinking. And as Brother Oates tells me a lot of times, and a whole lot of times, you just have to know how I think. Me and Brother Oates, we're about as different, polar opposites as two humans could possibly be, but we love working together so much. And we really have a good time. I never have to really be the boss, even though I am. He's a man that knows how to work. I think that's how all we are in here. Ain't nobody got to be the boss. We all know how to work. Everybody knows their place. Everybody knows how to get something done, how to accomplish moving in the Spirit, letting the Spirit work. Just sometimes we just kind of get it just a little bit too deep in the sand. We ain't got it plumb out in the river yet when we decide to launch it. It just happens, folks. It's part of the experience. And it says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I think this is what Brother James, I'm just cueing a little bit off what he said on that. I think he let the love of God be shed abroad in his heart. That's God's love shed abroad in this heart. But then he said this. He said, from henceforth shall men know that you're my disciples, because you have love one to another. Now that has to be the love of God shed abroad from us to somebody. Okay? God sheds his life, his hope in our hearts, and then it really just refracts out to other people. And what is the love of God? Really ask yourself, what is the love of God? I think it's an honest question. Tell me what the love is. Is there one word that could define the love of God? I don't think so. Could you define it if you had a thesaurus with you? I don't think so. I think there's a multiplicity of things, a plethora of things that is the love of God in its totality. But he loves humanity, does he not? Do I love humanity the way God loves humanity? Brother Brett, check my heart tonight. I appreciate that. I appreciate two aspects of it. I appreciate the fact that he said it, and that's his heart. See, it's not a fake. It's not a phony. It's not a flake. It's the real deal. He put together this thing for Trevor Ware. I was talking to a man the other day at a gas station, had a shirt on. Something about Trevor Ware. Sorry, my mouth's dry. It's hard to talk right now. But he put this thing together. It's been very successful. From what all I'm gathering and from what I've read. And that's a love for humanity and helping people. And I thank God that my heart felt checked, because it lets me know God can still deal with me. I'm not so high and polished and up and know so much. And I'm just kind of like still when I'm in that little boat zipping around. you know. I would have let them people, I wish I'd have just stopped and just said, hey, y'all doing all right? And they'd have said, turn around. Said, I just kept on going. And so, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I appreciate the Lord. I'm going to call it quits right there. I could go on for however long we wanted to go on. But I love the Lord. I think it would behoove all of us, to go boating with me one time. Let me show you what it means to bar your boat. How to bury that thing up. And I bet we'd have a blowout the next service. I just bet you money. I can't bet. I tell you what I'd do. If I'm wrong, I'll buy you a meal. If I'm right, you buy me one. And not one of them protein things that Justice eats. He'd give me this thing, says a protein bar. Tell you what, I don't know, it's the most horrible tastingest thing I've ever had in my mouth. I don't even know how he eats it. It's horrible. Bible says that it's sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly. But you know, sometimes the gospel's bitter in the mouth too. It hits your mouth and it just almost gives you lockjaw. I read a post on a guy who's really a worldly guy today, and he went and visited another church, and he mirrored exactly what we heard tonight. If you was listening, of course y'all didn't know this because it was my Facebook page, but nonetheless, he said, I went and visited a church for the first time. I'm glad that I went in a long time. I'm glad I went to church because I like going to where I hear things that I don't really like to hear. Because sometimes we need to hear things that we just really don't like to hear. I know that sounds paradoxical, but it's really not. Because that's how God deals with us. And so I just appreciate being here. Appreciate everybody's attentiveness to me and our company. We'll just, I don't think you got a song back this one up, do you? That's where I got that boat off that sandbar. I just raised my motor up and we'd float back and I'd just stick it back in the dirt and just lower it and it'd just pull me back 6 inches at a time. Like to wore it out. So that's all I've been doing. So let's just stand and I ain't going to take a prayer, Chris. Let's just stand up. Thank the Lord. Thank Sister Curtis for being here. Haven't seen her in a while. Appreciate you being here and your son and Brother Wallace. I just love the Lord, don't you?
Yes.
Let's give him a wave. Let him know, hey, we're down here, Lord.
You, Lord.
We love you. You love us and we love you.
Hallelujah.